Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. You can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face right now. So we invite your calls at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The good news is, as we say all the time, is the fact that Jesus Christ is alive.
Yes.
The resurrection of Christ means so much for each and every one of us. New life, total forgiveness of sins, righteousness, a new identity. It is an amazing gospel message that we have in Christ Jesus. And this month we've had some very lively discussions. Yesterday was extremely lively, and I appreciate all the folks that called in. But we were talking about suicide, and if somebody commits suicide, does that mean they've lost their salvation? So I wanted to start the program today, Andrew and Richard, and talk about the unpardonable sin. When somebody says or asks the question, what is the unpardonable sin? What is it? What does it mean to commit the unpardonable sin?
Well, you know, I think that, first of all, you have to visit various passages. I mean, you look and you see that Jesus says, first of all, that, you know, not every sin will be forgiven. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And you say, oh, my goodness, have I done that one? Maybe I've done that one 100 times. Maybe I'm out of luck. Maybe I will have no hope here. But then, you know, you look through the New Testament and you look at what the apostles are preaching, Bob, and it just seems like, first of all, you've got the book of Hebrews. It talks about insulting the Spirit of grace. And insulting the Spirit of grace was publicly, you know, putting Jesus to disgrace by going back to the temple and basically acting in unbelief. And so, you know, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the insulting of the Spirit of grace, this whole idea is really rejecting the gospel, rejecting the identity of Jesus. In fact, in context, you know, some of those guys back in the day of Jesus, they were attributing his works to Satan. So they were clearly getting his identity wrong, his works wrong, and they were rejecting him. And today, if anyone rejects him, that's the only sin that can't be forgiven. Why? Well, because you're rejecting the means of forgiveness. You're rejecting the cross.
Yeah, and in 2 Thessalonians, a wonderful passage where Paul writes about those who, you know, bring trouble to believers in this world, and it goes on to say in verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word obey there simply means to believe. Who do not believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will be punished with everlasting destruction. So if somebody dies, the judgment is going to be simple. Are you lost or saved? Those who are lost, they're going to try to make a case, and God will simply say, what did you do with my son? Because that's the real issue. You live or die based on your faith in Jesus Christ, spiritually. If you don't believe in Jesus, you just remain dead. If you believe in Jesus, you come alive and you're alive forever. So that's what God is interested in. What have you done with Jesus? And anybody who sins and maybe dies in the middle of that sin, if they're in Christ, God is going to ask them, what have you done with my son? Well, I'm trusting Jesus. Well, that's salvation. That's what that is. And it's not like they're going to have a second chance after they die. That decision was made here while they were alive. And when that decision was made, they gained spiritual life. They didn't earn it. They were given that by grace. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. So that's the issue. Are you in Christ or are you not in Christ? Those are the only two options. And if you're in Christ, you're in Christ forever. And Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection guarantees that. So everything that we have as far as our salvation is concerned is given to us by Jesus Christ. It is sustained by Jesus Christ. It is preserved by Jesus Christ. Our whole life eternally rest upon Jesus and upon him alone. Those who reject Jesus, they're going to be separated from God forever. That's the unpardonable sin. That's the big issue. Are you trusting in Jesus? Have you put your full weight of trust in him or not? Plain and simple.
Plain and simple. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. And still plenty of open lines if you'd like to join the conversation. And as Bob Christopher said, it's been a lively one this week. That number is 1-800-677-9377. You can call right now. We do have open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fairfield, Connecticut, and talk with Diane, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome.
Thanks. I just have a little dilemma. I have been attending a church in my town, and they welcome everybody and anybody. All are welcome, which is a wonderful thing. But the thing that kind of cut me in the quick was that the assistant pastor, female, and she married her. I thought, well, now this just doesn't work for me because it says in.
So the female pastor, we lost you there for just a second. So you said one of the female pastors married a female.
Right.
Okay.
So to me, I'm confused because I'm saying, well, I thought in God's word, he detests homosexuality and he loves the person, but he hates the sin. And I'm thinking, well, here I am in a church where it's like they're advertising it and it's okay and it's a wonderful thing. Okay, if you want to welcome people in that are dealing with their issues, but if you're going to go ahead and marry your same-sex partner, that's not God's word, and God's word never changes, and it's in Leviticus, and it's in Timothy, and it's in the book of Corinthians, and it's all over that God.
So, Diane, is your question about whether or not you should stay in that church?
No, I left the church, but
okay.
I feel as though I'm not judging. But I feel it doesn't work for me, and is that...
Okay, Diane, we appreciate that question, and certainly an issue that more and more people are going to face.
The Word of God.
Yeah, more and more people are going to face in this country, in various churches. So how do we deal with that? I mean, what are some of the key points that we need to... keep front and center, things like truth, the Word of God, love, how do we reach out to those who, are involved in those lifestyles? What is the Christian response in a situation like that, Andrew?
Yeah, first of all, I don't think we go around with a legal pad at the door of every church and say, what do you believe and what have you been involved in lately? Otherwise, you can't enter. Clearly, we want as many people to hear the gospel as possible. We don't want to turn people away at the door. So the idea that anyone could come in and listen and believe and believe unto salvation, you say, wow, that's a great thing. The problem is that when a person who has been chosen to be in leadership is engaging in open sinful activity and has no conscience about it, says that it's cool, that God is good with it, that there's no issue there. You visit the book of Romans and it says that homosexuality is exchanging the natural for the unnatural, and men with men and women with women. And I've heard all the arguments where people try to justify it or redefine certain terms, but ultimately, even as a linguist, I study linguistics, and you look at things at the word level, the phrase level, the sentence level, and by the time you're done, even with just the book of Romans, it would be really hard to re-explain or talk around all of that language and end up with an idea that it's okay. So, we're not picking on one sin. It wouldn't matter if it was a man with a man or a woman with a woman or a man with a woman who is not his wife. It wouldn't matter what it is. But if a leader is continuing in that activity and acts like it's A-okay, then I would bolt for the door because it's just not what Christ has for his church.
So, Diane, I think you did what the Spirit of God was leading you to do, and so glad that you did that.
Thank you. That is awesome on your part.
The other side of this equation, both Richard and Andrew, is that we miss the point of the gospel. So we think God loves us and accepts us as we are, which is what he does. He meets us at our point of need. But his purpose is to take us out of our current condition and change us from the inside out. That's what this new life, that's what new birth is all about. And with new birth comes a new identity. And so we want to retain our old identities and say, hey, we're a Christian this, or we're a this Christian type of thing. And I think we need to come to the point and realize that once we've come to Jesus and we've been made alive, our sole identity is child of God, period, end of story. I think that's the missing link in all of this discussion, is that we don't fully embrace the new identity that we have in Christ. But, Diane, we certainly appreciate the call today. Let's go to Staten Island and talk with Angelo listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Angelo.
How you doing, Bob? I just want to say I heard the grace message back in the 90s, but through the years of messages getting tossed around with sin and that, I got lost. But yesterday, I really got it. Like, I never got it, and I just want to praise God for it. When you approached that caller and you said, well, if the person dies and they're married, where are they going? And it just hit me, that's abiding in his love. He is so different. He is the difference. And the heart is, the love of him is our home. And that home can't be taken away. And it really got me yesterday. I really understood it like I never understood it. I got to the point where I was ashamed that I knew the grace message, but I didn't understand it the way I should have. But it was just telling me that God loves me. When he really opened my mind to it, I just was like, wow, it's just never too late. He's always on time. When I mostly needed it right now, and I really do, it just gave me such a lift. It gave me an understanding that word came to me, fight the good fight of faith. That's the faith that we're fighting, is to believe that he is who he is, and we can never be what we would like to be. Only it comes from him. And I really want to thank you guys.
Well, Angelo, thank you so much for those encouraging words. And we're so grateful that you tuned in yesterday and heard that lively discussion, and something clicked for you. That is just fantastic. And, you know, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I just have such a big amen in me. I feel like I'm at the throne of God, and I understand what they're all doing now. You know, because it's just that awakening, that understanding. It's sad that we're the people who get the grace message, but still have to look at it in a way that we look at it instead of the way he looks at it. And I think that if we could truly try to understand the way he looks at it, that grace doesn't, like I know people are hearing me now, and they're like, wow, it sounds like you're giving an invitation to sin. No, grace makes you not want to sin. It stops you from sinning. It makes you, it approaches you. It makes you, that alarm goes off, like, I don't have to. And if I do, God has me in his home. That's why we're always pointing to heaven. Everything is pointed to heaven because it's him who sits there and waits for the prodigal son coming home. And it's just a big amen for me. I don't want to take no more time.
Well, Angelo, thanks for your kind words. That's what an encouragement. And, you know, Andrew, we were talking yesterday about the grace of God and saying that's something that we can't understand just through our finite minds, that we can't figure it out academically or through human reason and logic. It's a God thing, and we have to allow God's Spirit to really you know, push this grace into our hearts and minds so that we're starting to understand what it is. And I find, you know, around the country that we love to use the word grace. I saw a television interview of an entertainer and said, by the grace of God, like she knew what that meant. Mm. but we don't know what it means. And that's why I think at Basic Gospel, I know on your program, you push the grace of God, just push it and push it and push it. In hopes that somebody can see, wow, this is so much bigger than I ever dreamed and so much more powerful than I ever dreamed possible. That's God's grace. It saves, it sustains, it's everything. We're nothing apart from grace, are we?
Yeah, and to hear Angelo, you know, his excitement, the listeners out there, you captured that excitement that he has. And you know, some people might think, well, this is just some Bible show, and there's Bible teaching every day, and it's just your average Bible show. But what we're realizing is that, you know, everybody needs to have that Angelo moment, or maybe a few times in our lives, we get that Angelo moment where we say, you know, what he did, wow, this is amazing. It finally clicked for me. And so if you've been listening to Basic Gospel for just a day or a week, we encourage you to stay tuned to the program, because we're probing the depths of God's grace, and really that message is largely missing in the church today. We talk about grace for heaven, and we talk about grace for, you know, our biggest failures, but really grace is what sustains us daily, and through God's grace we're equipped to live this fulfilling life that we couldn't even touch before.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Angelo, thank you so much for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some more information and some of our resources. And just to say thanks for a great great call today, okay, my friend?
Thank you. God bless.
Hey,
thanks,
you
Angelo.
You hang on.
Time and open lines now, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go out to Denver, Colorado, and talk with Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, I'm doing good today, except I'm having a problem. You say, what you were saying, what did you do with my son, Jesus? Well, every time I talk, very rarely do I say Jesus. It's always, 99.9% of the time, I say God. Am I missing something? Am I not saved? And am I an antichrist and all that other stuff? So I'm going to hang up and listen for it.
Okay, Kenny, thanks for your call. We get so you know, caught up in, am I doing this thing right? Am I saying it right? Am I, you know, we get a lot of questions, and you know, Richard, you and Andrew both have had a lot of questions about prayer. Am I praying correctly? Do I end it this way, or do I use some other words? And we do get caught up in that stuff, and I think we have to come to the point and realize it's not about us, it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
God sent Jesus to do something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. That's why, you know, when we go to be with him, we're going to bow down, and all praise, honor, glory is going to go to the Lord, going to go to the Lamb who was slain before the creation of the world. So there's something special about the name Jesus, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And when you are praying, Jesus is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. So if you're praying to God, you're praying to all three of them as one. And the point of prayer is not for us to figure out what to say to God so that we can get something from him. The point is to be listening to what the Spirit is working in our hearts and minds, and to be reflecting what we're learning. Because, after all, what Paul says in Romans 8 is that the Spirit translates. I mean, we don't know what to pray, and the Spirit translates our words even when we're speechless. All we can do is groan. And so, you know, just pray. Just continue to talk to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, and let them speak to you and work through you.
Yeah, and I think as far as Kenny's question was concerned, when it comes, do I say God, do I say Jesus, I think we all need a fresh revelation of Jesus to find out exactly who he is and what he's accomplished for us. Andrew, you were going to jump in?
Yeah, you know, I don't know Kenny, and I don't know how often he's called in. We don't know his background, perhaps. But, you know, Jesus said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the identity of Jesus is really important. He says, I am the door, I am the gate. Narrow is the gate. He says, before Abraham, I am. So he made some really radical claims. He was claiming to be God. So it is very critical to nail down the identity of Jesus. And so while our words during prayer, you know, God's not picking at our words, but I do think that it's important for us to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, and he is the gate and the door, and through him we get to know the Father. There's lots of people shaking their fists at heaven and saying, I want to know God, I want to know God, 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 God. And that can be very nebulous, but Jesus makes it tangible, and he presents us with the Father and says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes, indeed. Let's go up to Jersey City and talk with Nick listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nick.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. How are you? Good.
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a question about Lord's Supper in Corinthians 1, chapter 11. Specifically, when he's talking about examine yourselves, was he talking about coming to the table unworthily as far as the way they were handling the Lord's Supper, or was it something about personal sin and examine yourself to come worthily before table? Can you just explain that a little bit to me?
I would be glad to, Nick, and that's an excellent question, and I think you've hit the nail on the head in how you've asked it. In verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what was happening with the Corinthians. It was a division between the haves and the have-nots. The rich were gathered, and they were doing their little thing, and they were condemning and ostracizing those that had very little. That's what was happening, and they weren't recognizing the true nature of the body of Christ. So they were participating in this Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, and that was the reason for the chastisement, for the discipline that Paul was bringing in the writing. There was so much happening in the Corinthian church. There were just problem after problem after problem, and it was being manifested even at the Lord's Supper. But it was the unworthy manner in which they were taking it that was the problem.
And Bob, you know, I don't think that we can really pull this off today. You know, today we're celebrating the Lord's Supper with a 2-inch shot glass of Welch's grape juice, and we're downing a crouton-sized morsel of bread. And you know, we're not getting drunk with the Lord's Supper. We're not engaging in gluttony. So this idea that we need to dim the lights and play the somber music and try to examine our recent track record and maybe, just maybe, we'll qualify to go up front and participate in the Lord's Supper, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is celebrating Jesus, and he wants us to do it in remembrance of Jesus, not in remembrance of how we've been doing lately.
And that's a joyful occasion. I mean, we raise the glass, we give thanks that we're part of this new covenant, that Jesus has taken away our sins once and for all, that we have been joined together as a body of believers. That's what God wants us to recognize when we participate in this Lord's Supper. Nick, hope that helps.
That's the way I see it exactly. There's just a lot of confusion even in my church about it, you know, and that's what I've been trying to explain to people, that it's the unworthy way they were doing it, not waiting for people, eating before others got there, stuff like that. And there's a lot of confusion today about that, you know, because we're celebrating the fact that Jesus did forgive us.
Absolutely.
Already.
You got it. Keep teaching it, okay? Hey, thanks for your call.
And we're about out of time, friends. I want to remind you that our online store has a lot of resources that can help you grow in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. We're frequently adding to that list, and one of the latest, of course, is Bob Christopher's message, And the Love of God, and it can be yours, a copy of it, for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel. And so we ask you to make your gift, request your copy at basicgospel.net, or by calling our order line during Central Time office hours at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 800-727-2828. We ask you to help today by making your most generous, tax-deductible donation to help keep this good news on the air. Again, that's Basic Gospel or 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and for Andrew, the ministry team, Bob Davis. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.